do want to welcome all of you back and to say I have missed you. It seems like it's been a real long time since we've been together, and I'm glad we're back. I do want to remind you, nobody has mentioned it today, but today is Valentine's Day. And if you did not see the newspaper, I want to report that there are still romantic men in the world. Did you all see this news report? I'm not making this up, as they say. There's a farmer someplace who, in honor of Valentine's Day, spread, I think it was 40 tons of manure in the shape of a giant heart with his wife's name on it. And I just, my heart was just so touched to realize that level of romantic commitment still exists.
Was that guy being facetious?
I don't think so. I mean, I don't remember where he was from. Maybe it was Iowa. But, the idea is you got to spread it anyway, but to spread it in such a way that you bring joy and honor to your wife.
I just want to go on record, and Russell brought me breakfast in bed this morning.
You are a prince. Now, I will mention that I think you can read between the lines and figure out a couple of really interesting things about what Terry just talked about. But the piece that I thought was the most interesting, when he was relating this to me, he said the cardiologists were so shocked at how quickly and how well his heart had rebounded, and had said, if we had known, you wouldn't. It turns out you didn't really need the Coumadin. But if he hadn't had the Coumadin, they wouldn't have caught the cancer. And if they hadn't caught the cancer, by the time they did catch it, it would have spread. And so the combination of this, as he reported sort of this cascade of what the doctors were saying, was this thing of either he is incredibly lucky, or, and I agree with him, God is good. Now, we're still looking at hymns. I want to make sure that I go on record with this. I have sent a note to, seems like it was five or six of you, and I didn't send a note to all of you, and I should have and would have if I'd figured out how to do it. Right now we've been looking at hymns, but I want to look at praise songs as well, and you guys have a better sense of what good praise songs are than I do. So whether I sent you a note or didn't send you a note, if there are praise songs that have had significance for you, if you can tell me what they are and either provide me with or point me to the lyrics, then let me consider putting those together. I think I've got five or six or seven that I've sort of worked through already, and I've got two or three more from you, or one more at least, maybe more than one, that I haven't. I've noted the email has come in, but I haven't had a chance to look at it yet. And I've mentioned now to two or three of others of you in here, if you have a praise song or two that have been significant to you, let me know what it is. Point me to the lyrics, and I'll see if I can't put together at least one, if not 2 weeks, on those as well. Okay? You have been in Sunday school for at least 15 minutes already. The hymn that I'm going to be talking about today starts like this: when peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, you've taught me to say, it is well. It is well with my soul. You have heard a testimony that goes deeper and further than anything I can talk about what that's like and how that feels from somebody who's experienced it just very recently. I've put off a bit bringing this particular hymn before you. About 4 weeks ago now, a remarkable young lady who is occasionally attended in here, she's a college student, came up to me and gave me a book that had all kinds of hymns in it, and on each one, the hymn was on one page, and on the other page was information about it. In fact, the book is the same one that Teresa's holding up right now. The one, hold that up, that's the one she gave me. And she had a post note in it, and she said, I will let you borrow this and use it. It's mine, but I will let you borrow and use it, but only on the condition that you talk about this hymn. And when I opened it up, it was this hymn. Let me read that first verse again. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, you've taught me to say, it is well with my soul. What's remarkable about that morning is that about an hour after she had come in to lend me her book, an older fella in the first hour, we had finished the first hour's hymns, and he came up to me and he said, "There's a hymn I want you to do sometime." Same hymn. And he says, "I can feel God calling me to sing this, and I can't sing it yet. I've lost my wife, and I'm still struggling with that. Pray for me." Sometimes everything's great. When peace like a river attendeth my way. That's what that line means. Sometimes things are great, and sometimes things are horrible. When sorrows like sea billows roll, the hymn writer says, "Whatever my lot, you've taught me to say, it is well with my soul." The fellow who wrote that had lost his wife and two of his three children as a boat went down sailing from Europe to America. He was supposed to meet that boat, and the boat never made it. One child survived, was rescued, is the way I remember the story. I know that because I looked across the page from the hymn that Kimberly gave. The book that Kimberly gave me. Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and has shed his own blood for my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well. It is well with my soul. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, oh, my soul. And Lord, haste the day when my faith will be sight. The clouds be rolled back like a scroll. The trump will resound, and the Lord will descend. Even then, it is well with my soul. You've heard Terry speak for a while. Do you have any comments?
I think in my life, Bill, while I realize and believe in every word of that song, God has taken us and me through some low points in our lives, and we didn't realize it until much later, the truth of the words of that song. If you don't know it ahead of time, it's difficult to know it when you're in the pits.
There's a young man in the first hour. He's a student at a local university now. Here's how he started his comment. He said, "When I was first deployed." You don't use that word except in one context. He said, "When I was first deployed, all I could see was sea billows rolling." He said, "I wouldn't have worded it that way. You've given me a way to word it." He said, "I thought that was the worst thing that life could ever give me." And he said, "Now I've had experiences that have my life aimed. I have people that I am friends with that I will never stop being friends with. I've had experiences I would never have had. I'd never realized that in the middle of the worst of times, it could still be the best of times." He said, "God carried me through that. He's carrying me forward." You're saying something like that. But it sure helps to know ahead of time.
Interesting how God can use those moments in the valley where the sea billows are rolling in order to reveal that peace. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's one thing to be on the mountaintop and to acknowledge that, you know, gosh, I've really had this peace, everything in my life is going well. But then to use those valleys, whether it's, you know, an emotional, spiritual, physical, something that Terry's gone through, something that, you know, most of us in here have experienced it sometime in our lives. It's like, it's not until we're down that in that place that he can reveal that peace that only we can acknowledge come from him. There's no other way that I could experience a level of peace as I'm walking through the valley of the shadow of death than to acknowledge, you know, it's coming from above. There's no natural way for us to experience that beyond, you know, as I would say, the power of the Holy Spirit.
There was a time a few weeks back that I was in that valley, and I wrote an email to Travis and to Norm and a few other people, and explaining where I was. Some of y'all know me, some of you don't. I usually attend the first hour. I had back surgery less than 3 weeks ago. And, you know, I'm still down there. But a friend replied to the email, and she said, "Be still and know that I am God." And maybe it took back surgery for me to be still, but I'm getting there.
Can I twist this just a little bit? This is going to be funny, but I'm making the same point she just made. A friend of mine years ago told me this story. He's got a little sunfish sailboat. You guys know what a sunfish sailboat is? Mm-hmm. And he had taken this guy named Harvey that worked with him sailing out in the Chesapeake Bay. And they were probably half a mile from shore. And the sunfish capsized. And Harvey went in the water. And my friend went in the water. And Harvey was flailing away as hard as he could, screaming, oh God, I'm going to die. I can't swim. I'm going to die. Oh God, I'm going to die. My friend Stu said, I put my foot down and the water was about to hit me. So he's standing there watching Harvey flailing away. Oh God, I'm going to die. I'm going to die. And he says to him, Harvey, and Harvey can't hear because Harvey's screaming so hard. Harvey still can't hear. Harvey stops and looks at him and says, what? And my friend says, stand up. Harvey stands up, and Harvey was taller. Water came to about here. I do not want to minimize what the valley is like. That's not my point. My point is, God says, I'm with you. And that's a place you can stand. Would you let me read you another one? I think I have transitioned properly. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He spreads on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a shadow can rise, not a cloud in the skies, but He smiled. He doth quickly. He drives it away. Not a doubt or a fear, not a sigh or a tear can abide, can remain while we trust and obey. Not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but our toil He doth richly repay. Not a grief or a loss, not a frown or a cross, but is blessed if we trust in Him. God doesn't promise to take things away. He promises to help us and to sort of change the perspective. The most dramatic thing I could tell you in that visit with Terry is the grace that God has given him, the gift that God has given him, to have forgotten how frightened he was. Norman and I compared notes. He was frightened. But within a matter of days, he couldn't remember that. The gift that God gave Terry on the way into that surgery was amazing. I've hinted at this the last couple of weeks, but I told him I would wait until he could tell you that story. But we never can prove the delights of His love until all on the altar we lay. For the favor He shows and the joy He bestows are for those who will trust and obey. then in fellowship sweet we will sit at his feet, or we'll walk by his side in the way. What he says, we will do. Where he sends, we will go. Never fear. Only trust and obey. You guys know that chorus? Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Some of the people in the first hour said, trusting is hard enough. Obeying is really tough. And we spent a little while thinking about that. What reaction? Anybody have a comment?
You know, it doesn't really just follow the same thought as that. Listening to Terry talk and my thoughts, you know, during this week, you know, I have a tendency to always think of, you know, when we go through these peaks and valleys of life, the valleys are really a tough time in our lives. And, you know, it seems like, you know, you were mentioning how it's really such a blessing of how you can realize, you know, what blessings are you're learning or can realize when you're in the valleys. And most of us realize the blessings after we come out of the valleys and we're on a semi-peak looking back at the valley. We can think, oh, you know, it was so terrible, but look at the bright side of that. And I was thinking of, it was a country music song that sometimes God's greatest gifts are unanswered prayers. So, you know, I guess sort of, you know, to tie it all up, you know, it's funny how our relationship with God and with each other is so dynamic. I mean, exactly, you know, you guys being here as visitors, when Terry's up there talking, and, you know, me thinking earlier this week about how some of our class members have gone through such terrible valleys. But then, you know, I think of some of the lessons that were said. You know, I hate to do this, but I'm going to pick on you because I think about you a lot. And I was thinking about you this week and the valley that you had to go through with the loss of Diana. But I was also thinking about, you know, what a blessing you had for having her those years, because she was really a very dynamic Christian person. And as opposed to, yes, you lost her, but you had her. And as far as I'm concerned, the silver lining, the golden part of that balance was that you did have her. And you can look at other people that have, you know, let's just use the name children. You know, they have children that are by no means measured up to the blessing of Diana. So, and that's what I was thinking about this week. So I'm just sort of, I ramble and I'll shut up. That was my thoughts this week.
Have faith in God when your pathway is lonely. He sees and knows all the way you have tried. Never alone are the least of his children. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God when your prayers are unanswered, your earnest plea he will never forget. Wait on the Lord. Trust his word and be patient. Have faith in God. He'll answer yet. Have faith in God in your prayer and your sorrow. His heart is touched by your grief and despair. Cast all your cares and your burdens upon him and leave them there. Oh, leave them there. Have faith in God, though all else fail about you. Have faith in God, he provides for his own. He cannot fail, though all kingdoms should perish. He rules, he reigns upon his throne.
God always answers prayer. Sometimes he says yes, Sometimes he says no. Sometimes he says, you have got to be kidding me.
I can't remember the last time in our church we have gone 2 Sundays and 2 Wednesdays without having the chance to meet. The snow has done us in, and it's done us in, and it's done us in, and it's done us in.
Always hit on Saturday and Tuesday.
Yeah, a few of you were starting out reading the Bible through this year. And at the first of each month, I was supposed to give you a preview of what was coming. Well, the February is now a review, not a preview. And if you haven't heard, the Messenger was printed before the storm that hit this week. So we're going to use the 24th of February as the February review, and then 1 week later on March 3, we're going to have the preview for March. I've been reading ahead a little bit, trying to get ready for March. There's this wonderful moment where some things are going pretty badly wrong for the children of Israel out there in the wilderness. God says to Moses, pick a small group of the elders and bring them up the mountain. And I can't remember now if it's 12 or 24. It's almost certainly one of those two numbers of people he's going to bring up the mountain. And he says, I'm going to take some of the spirit I've given you, and I'm going to put it on them for a little while, and they're going to prophesy. Now, I'm not sure what that word means, but I have this picture that they become Pentecostals for a little while. In any event, there is this moment. They're up on the mountain, and they get that spirit one time. Now, I don't know why the Bible says they only get it once, but the Bible says that. And about that time, two guys down in the valley who hadn't gone up the mountain, spirit lands on them and they start to prophesy. And a young man comes running to Moses, very significant young man. It's Joshua. We're going to be reading his book with his name in just a little while. He comes running up to Moses and he says to Moses, Moses, make them stop. You know what Moses says? Would God that every follower of the Lord were a prophet. Oh, for 1,000 tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, the glories of my God and King, the triumphs of His grace. My gracious Master and my God, assist me to proclaim, to spread through all the earth abroad the honors of Thy name. Jesus, the name that charms our fears, calms our fears, I don't know why that word is charms, calms our fears, that bids our sorrows cease. 'Tis music in the sinner's ears. 'Tis life and health and peace. He, that is Jesus, breaks the power of canceled sin. Listen to that line. We spent 5 minutes on that line in the first hour. He breaks the power of canceled sin. He sets the prisoner free. His blood can make the foulest clean. His blood availed for me. I felt the Lord's atoning blood close to my soul applied. Me, He loved, the Son of God. For me, He died. He speaks, and listening to His voice, the dead new life receive. The mournful broken hearts rejoice. The humble poor believe. Hear Him, ye deaf. Him praise, ye dumb. Your loosened tongues employ. Ye blind, behold your Savior come. And leap, ye lame, for joy. Glory to God and praise and love be ever, ever given by saints below and saints above, the church in earth and heaven. That's a pretty powerful hymn. And it's of a piece with what we've been talking about. We are not designed to face nothing but trials and struggles. We're designed for God's glory. But sometimes going through those processes helps fit us for the other things we're called to. Comments? Bill?
Bill, I have to, and I hope this doesn't come across as being Pollyannish-ish, if you will, but I'm wired to the glass half full. And while all of us have been through our trials and tribulations, you know, I can't even imagine going through the death of a child. I have other friends who've gone through that as well. I have a friend who's gone through the death of a child in this past year where it was a suicide, and she is just in the depths of despair and cannot seem to come out of it. So I really appreciate you in the way that you live your life, Linda, in that scenario, and others like you. But every day of my life, I wake up, and the first thing that's in my mind, the first thing that's in my consciousness, is thank you, Lord, for this day, for my life, for my wife, and my children. And I remember reading some time ago about Norman Vincent Peale. And I think we may have discussed this in this class or two, I don't remember. But anyway, Norman Vincent Peale, before he got out of bed every morning, he would repeat Psalm 118:24. Today is the day the Lord has made. Rejoice and be glad in it. And I taught my kids to say that every morning before they went to school, from the time they were in kindergarten to the time they left home to go to college. I'd ask them, babies, what day is it today? And I wanted to hear them say it. And then I'd ask them, what can you do? And I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Because I think of all the despair that happened in this world and all the challenges that our friends and families have. And I think of Job and what he went through. And I think that these Psalms are a mighty praise to the positive power of our Lord and Savior. And that they inspire me. And while, you know, you feel and you pray for those who are in the depths, that today is the day the Lord has made. Rejoice and be glad in it. No matter what happens to me today or tomorrow, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I want to know that every day of my life that I take a breath, I give it and praise the Lord for it. That today is the day the Lord has made.
I heard somebody wise one time say, when I hit a valley like that, when it just gets, the troubles just seem to mount up, he said, I try to remember to pray this, Lord, whatever it is you want me to learn and experience through this, let it come quickly, because I don't think I want to stay here very long. I think that's actually a pretty wise prayer.
Yeah.
I think that's a pretty wise prayer. I think God can honor that. Whatever it is you have for me to learn and experience in this, let it come quickly, because I'm open. I'm ready to hear. Terry?
I wanted to add something to Phil's comments and observations. very difficult to imagine what a 60-year-old can experience. Maybe
Paul said we grieve, but we don't grieve in the way we would if we had no hope.
So I'm thankful.
I've got one left, and it's an unusual one when you look at it closely. The first stanza states a question, and the rest of the stanzas, four more, all respond to that question. Here's the question. How firm a foundation, you saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in His excellent word. What more can He say than to you He has said? To you who to Jesus for refuge have fled. And the next four verses rehearse what God has said. You ready? All the last verses begin with a quote mark. These are God's words taken straight out of Scripture. What more can He say than He's already said? And what has He already said? Here it is. Fear not, I am with you. Oh, be not dismayed, for I am your God, and I'll still give you aid. I'll strengthen you, help you. Think about Harvey for a second, and cause you to stand. Upheld by my righteous, omnipotent hand. When through the deep waters I call you to go, the rivers of woe shall not you overflow. For I'll be with you, your troubles to bless, and sanctify to you your deepest distress. When through fiery trials your pathway will lie, my grace all sufficient will be your supply. The flame will not hurt you. I only design your dross to consume and your gold to refine. The soul that on Jesus has leaned for repose, I will not desert to its foes. That soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, I'll never, no, never, no, never forsake. Those are God's words. And I think they put the bookend to the hymns we've talked about this morning. These are pretty deep subjects here, guys. This is where hard times come, and you start to see whether your faith really has a foundation. It does. Will you sing a chorus with me just to close us out? Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus, but to trust and obey.